You're back listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR. And we were just playing a song that was requested by the next guest on the show, Damoon Jehani. Welcome to Green Left Radio.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, that song was Hasis the Emperor, classic Che Guevara song in a Persian rendition. Well, it'll be a good thing to set the mood.
Yeah, thank you for suggesting it. Sorry we had to fade it out halfway through, but we'll try and play it another time on the show.
Yeah. So just jumping in, just introducing you, Damoon, to the rest of our listeners. So yeah, we're happy to be joined today by Damoon, who is a Kurdish Iranian who is based in Nam, Melbourne. And he is also part of a group of Iranian leftists who are organising the upcoming protests that's going to be happening this Saturday at 12 p.m. at the State Library. So we have Damoon on the program to actually talk about, you know, about the protests in Iran. So, Damoon, can you tell us a bit about the roots of the protests and where have they kind of come from in the past 2 months?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the roots of the protests in Iran, it goes back to a long discontentment with authoritarianism. It is a mobilization that has rapidly expanded since 2009. So, in the last 16 years, we've had 6 major mobilizations in Iran, which for an authoritarian state like Iran, that has one of the highest execution rates per capita in the world, shows the thirst that people in Iran have for freedom, for liberation. And these are dynamics that we've seen play out for the last month in Iran. We have protests that initially emerged as an economic reaction by the merchant class, right? So it's interesting. It kind of takes us back to the 1979 revolution, the merchants coming out and going on strikes. And so this happens for a day or two. You have electronic shops in Tehran closing down their shops, and then other merchants across Iran see this and start following suit. But within a day or two, we start seeing a political message developing slowly from these strikes. And then, give it a few more days, we have university students in Tehran coming out to protest. Give it one more day, and you have much more larger, strictly political mobilizations taking place in Iran. And within a week, we're talking about around more than 20 provinces out of Iran's 31 being an open revolt. So in a backdrop, it's this long discontentment with authoritarianism that the Iranian people have not just faced since 1979, but during the monarchist dynasty we've had from 1925 to 1979. And in the recent mobilizations, it's the economic trigger that gets transformed into the classic political mobilization.
Yeah, and I want to kind of go into the next question, which is because you kind of highlight how a lot of these protests have kind of been driven by kind of economic concerns. And I want to kind of ask about, have the issues of women's liberation and rights for minorities and oppressed groups within Iran been taken up as part of these protests? Because they've very much been a key feature of a lot of the protest movements that have occurred in Iran in the past, and was very much the big part of the women life and freedom movement.
So here's where it gets a bit tricky. Women life freedom was probably the most intersectional event in terms of Iranian mobilization since 1979. I mean, a very slogan itself, right? It is putting at the fore and center of a struggle for women liberation. It was an event that took place in both Iranian Kurdistan and main urban centers like Tehran. This time around, if I have to be honest, we're not really seeing as many slogans about women like freedom. Part of that, I think, comes that each mobilization in Iran does build from the previous, but also distinguish itself in one way. Another part is that I think in the protests that we've had in Iran, we have seen a larger presence of monarchists or more Pahlavi-friendly ambition. And in the Iranian monarchist camp, they kind of sit strictly opposed to the women-like freedom movement. They saw it as sort of opposed to the ideals, They thought that involved way too many political actors. And so, not that this is the entire reason, but this time around, for instance, whereas in Woman Life Freedom, we had mobilizations in the more nationalist parts of Iran and Kurdistan, in the Sunni regions where Kurds have mobilized en masse for decades upon decades, this time around, we haven't even really seen those mobilizations take place in the Sunni parts of Iran and Kurdistan. We've seen it in other parts of Iran and Kurdistan, but in the past where we saw the largest mobilizations during Women Life Freedom, for instance, we haven't even seen that. And when I talk to people there, I talk to people from those regions, there is a slight even anxiety about the monarch's sort of presence. But again, as the sort of backdrop of all of this, it is still a quite intersectional event. It still involves a large segment of Iranian society. And even when you look at videos of protesters in Iran chanting certain things, like long live the king, it's not everyone. You're seeing maybe 40%, sometimes 20%, sometimes 5 people in the crowd. But then here comes the next big point. When you're in Iran, when you're facing a mobilization, when you're facing authoritarian violence, people don't have the capacity to distinguish themselves from one protester to another. Because at the end of the day, the boot of your authoritarian man is sitting on your neck.
We're speaking to Damoon Jahani, who's a Kurdish-Iranian PhD student based in Melbourne. I'm assuming you're still a student, Damoon. What are your thoughts on the opportunistic weaponization of the Iranian people's struggle by Israel and also the United States and their allies?
Yeah. So, I mean, in one sense, it gives me anxiety. You know, us as leftists, we have a very strong understanding of the history of imperialism, of how U.S. intervention in Iraq and Afghanistan, so what we saw in Venezuela, you know, just recently, which is unparalleled, like something I couldn't even think about. So there is a sense of anxiety in terms of what Western interference looks like. And at the other end, there is a concentrated effort, at least to some degree, especially with Israel, to push the monarch's cause, to push the son of Allah Shah, Reza Pahlavi. And Trump even mentioned his name a few days ago. Funnily enough, he called him a nice guy, but it was like, we have to see whatever opposition movements emerge in Iran as well, what other leaders come out of Iran as well. And so, you know, the Islamic regime has been one of the biggest geopolitical enemies of the United States, of the West in the region. But of course, you know, we're not campus, so we're not going to stand here and be like, well, Iranian people don't deserve freedom because the current regime is anti-imperialist. Solidarity extends to everywhere, but those anxieties exist. However, on the other end, the U.S. is also facing regional pressure. For instance, Turkey. Turkey is not the biggest fan of the regime in Iran. Sometimes they have their issues as well. But now from Turkey's perspective, well, look, if a mobilization happens in Iran, it's not just Israel they have to worry about. It's also the Kurdish movements in Iran, too. And so we've even been seeing Turkey and other regional states applying pressure on the U.S. And Israel to an extent as well, to not intervene as much. One point I do want to make, and this is intrinsic to my PhD in sort of understanding our oppositional dynamic. The protests in 2009 that we had, the protests in 2017 that we had, even to an extent the protests in 2022, Women Like Freedom, there wasn't this massive shift by the opposition to go towards American Israel. By here, I'm largely talking about the monarchists. This is something that has largely developed over 4 decades, and it comes out of desperation. So I'm not asking people to, you know, completely excuse some of the tendencies that some Iranians have, but the unfortunate reality of what authoritarian violence and decades of suppression does to a movement when it feels powerless. When, for instance, in Iran, we're having reports of 12,000 people killed in 2 days amidst an internet blackout that's been unparalleled, that people in times of desperation, unfortunately, seek the other geopolitical power to support them.
Yeah, and we encourage people to stand in solidarity with Iran tomorrow at the protest that you are part of organising, Damoon. It's tomorrow, Saturday, January 17th at 12 p.m. at the State Library. And just to highlight once again, Damoon, why it is important that we all show solidarity with the Iranian protesters.
You know, in one sense, decades of authoritarian repression. It's, you know, a place that I haven't even seen once in my life. A place where, you know, I have a friend who a week and a half ago said, I'm going to go join a protest, and I haven't even heard from him. And even being an Iranian leftist, it feels like we're in a tough spot now where there's, and very understandably, there's a part of the left that is anxious about both the monarchist movements, about both U.S. and Israel interference, about what the removal of the regime would do. But in these grander discourses of geopolitical battles, what's being lost is the very humanity of the people in Iran. And I deeply, deeply appreciate the articles and the support that groups like Socialist Alliance and other Trotskyist groups have been showing as well. But at the end of the day, you know, I have a father who fought against the Pahlavi dynasty and the Islamic regime. And man, we just want to go home.
Yeah, all the solidarity to you as well, Damoon, and your family. And we really hope that you can go back home and see probably family you've probably never met before and been separated from for so many years. And before we unfortunately run out of time, but are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with us and listeners before we wrap up?
Yeah, it's that, look, I'm a Marxist. I have my takes. I don't like the West. I don't like Israel. And I'm not necessarily for intervention. It's just that from a distance, we can look at a community, whether it's Cubans, Venezuelans, Iranians in the diaspora, and we can look at the flags they're waving, and we can use that to say they're a psyop. We can use that to say they're a coral of a revolution. And these are the sort of takes that even my own best friend who came to every single Women Like Freedom protest has told me this time around. But again, just the same message I said before, that if we're missing the sociological analysis of how people go and seek another geopolitical actor of desperation, not that we should support it, but that is what the reality of, again, authoritarianism looks like. And that right now, the Iranian left is in a difficult spot. We're fighting against so many fronts, and it also feels like that we don't have as much support as we did during Women Like Freedom, and that's completely understandable as well.
Yeah. Well, all the solidarity, Damoon. And yeah, just a reminder to our listeners, there is going to be a protest tomorrow at 12 p.m. at the State Library in solidarity with Iran. And yeah, I think it will be a very kind of important kind of protest to kind of support and to show our solidarity.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Damoon, for joining us this morning and taking that time. And we'll see you tomorrow on the streets.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. See you soon.